Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. Maggie will be back as far as our regularly scheduled programming next week, but you're stuck with me for another 40 minutes or so. And I'm lucky to be joined in studio today, live from our studio in Racine, Wisconsin, with Marquette University Professor Phil Rocco. And we've been talking a little bit about his piece at the Recombobulation Area. At the Recombobulation Area, called "Prisoners of the State," and really breaking down a number of issues that are happening, kind of in the fallout of the 2023 shared revenue bill, and how that is, you know, the counties and municipalities of the state exist downstream from state government, and how that. You know, it's like the domino falling, right? The domino of the state shared revenue bill being passed in 2023. After 2024, we realize kind of like what exactly the on the ground impact of this law is going to mean. And then from there, you know, we're seeing some continued challenges on the local level as well. And so we're getting into that a little bit before the break, Phil.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't hear myself. There we go. There I am. Oh, very good. So, yeah, this is the thing that happens when big pieces of legislation pass. There's a signing ceremony, and they're like, look at all this money. They just, like, cite a very large figure. And it's just a thing that the human brain does is you see the large figure, and it just sort of you stop thinking about, like, the scale and, like, the context and, like, how much – like, what does that actually look like when you start – to the process of like cutting checks and thinking about full-time equivalent employees and all of the things that government needs to work. And I think what we're seeing now around the state is actually that $274 million, although a huge improvement, was still not the kind of aid that counties and municipalities needed. And to put this in greater context, this idea of like states sharing money with local governments, it's not – as I think it's sometimes portrayed, like a gift or like the state being nice. It goes back.
That is certainly kind of the way that Robin Voss has framed
right.
it.
It's yeah. not. If you go back to why the state started doing this, it was back in 1911. And back in 1911, Wisconsin was the first state to create a progressive modern income tax and kind of update its ancient kind of creaking fiscal machinery. And in exchange for the state saying, look, no local governments can tax income. We get to be the exclusive government that taxes income. They said, we're going to give local governments a cut of money that they would have received were they able to tax income. And then when the state started taxing sales, that principle kind of got rolled in as well. So you can think of it as like it's like a big trade-off. In exchange for not allowing local governments to be masters of their own fiscal destiny, the state is giving them back a share of what they, in a way, would have received or some distribution of what local governments in general would have received had they been able to do that kind of taxation. And so, you know, when local governments, I think – around budget season, and people are thinking like, you know, does my street need to be repaved? Are the lights on my street reliable? Is
my garbage getting
is my
picked
garbage
up?
Getting
is
picked
the
up?
Snow getting removed
you know,
outside
if,
of our?
If yeah, you know, or do my property taxes go up on the other side of things?
Sure.
Right. The people that you tend to look to blame or to give credit to are your local officials, your county board, your common council, your alders, your mayor. But in reality, that's a little bit of an illusion that when local governments are making those decisions, they're always making them in the shadow of a bigger set of decisions the state makes when it does its biennial budget. We're coming up on another biennial budget process. And one of the things that you might expect to see, but I think we see less of than we probably should, is local communities going around from the state and saying, look, hey, you know, it was very nice that we did Act 12, then we got, you know, $274
million. Keeping us from falling off the cliff.
Thank you for keeping us falling off the cliff. But here are all the services we provide that if we didn't provide them, voters would be coming to you and asking you to provide them.
Right.
And so we're essentially taking the heat off of you. And if you shortchange us, you're forcing us to raise taxes and us to take the political blame for something that actually it's you who have handcuffed us, right? The state is the one that sets the tax policy and what local governments can tax. The state is the one that creates unfunded mandates for local government. So it's like, really, it's not just about like the distribution of money in the state. It's the distribution of like political credit and blame. That's really what we're talking about.
Well, and I wrote something about this a number of years ago, too. And when the Republicans in the state were furious about the, you know, defund the police rhetoric
right.
that was coming out of the protests in 2020. And so, but if you really look at what was happening at the time with the fact that the Republican controlled state legislature was cutting shared revenue, the people who were actually defunding the police at the time was state government.
Absolutely.
And so when Milwaukee was forced to, I think Mayor Barrett at the time or whoever it might be, they were saying, yeah, let's raise the sales tax to pay for police and pay for these different things. Robin Voss over and over again was saying, nope, never going to happen. We're not going to raise the sales tax. And so if you are actually looking at who should have been considered responsible for the decline in number of, you know, sworn officers, the decline in number of police funding, decline in school funding, fire department, public works, whatever it might be that you care about that matters to your life, it is, you know, you could blame the city and the county. And, you know, of course, you want to keep these places accountable, but you also need to go to the source. And the source for so much of this and the source of so many of the issues that Wisconsin faces goes back to the Republican controlled Wisconsin state legislature.
Yeah. Go to Madison. Look to Madison.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You're assigning blame to Milwaukee that should be assigned to the state capitol in Madison. We're going to be continuing to talk a little further about this issue after the break here on the Maggie Dawn Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. We've got some listeners commenting in that they like Cardi's music selections today. I agree. Solid work back
well
on the board
done,
there,
man.
Cardi, taking us into a Friday afternoon. And once again, I'm your guest host today. My name is Dan Schaefer on the Civic Media Network, and we will be right back.